lot of fun. We're trying to get in the habit of doing these more often. We're going to do them monthly starting in April. But we had one last night. Friday night. We had a nice group here. We had some friends come and visit from Glad Tidings, and they hooped and hollered with us for a while, and that was a lot of fun. And then had some ministry time. The Holy Spirit just showed up. It was a real powerful night. So if you have an opportunity, like I said, we're going to start to do these more monthly starting in April, last Friday of the month. So keep that in your calendar in mind. It's usually a good time. We're not doing it in March because the last Friday of March is Good Friday. And Brenda mentioned the crosswalk is starting here. There's going to be the traditional community-wide Good Friday service. We hosted it last year. This year it's going to be at Trinity Lutheran on 7th. And so the cross is actually going to, the cross right now, the community cross, is sitting in the basement of the parsonage. It will come up from the cellar or up from the ground. I don't know. Never mind. And we're going to walk 10 blocks. It was there in my mind. I just couldn't put it in. We're going to walk the 10 blocks. What's really cool, though, is if you want to join us for that and you park here, you don't have to walk back because Glad Tidings has a trolley bus, and they're going to shuttle whoever parks here after the service back here to get their car. So just the opportunity to ride in a trolley bus is, I mean, that's worth the ticket right there, right? By the way, it's free. So, and then one other thing. I don't have times for this. The Good Friday thing, 11:30 starting here for the walk. The service as normal is at noon on Good Friday. Palm Sunday, last year we did a community-wide, the Spirit-filled church has gathered at Bethel Assembly and did a worship night Palm Sunday. It was really good. We're going to do that again this year. This year we're going up to Genoa, and we're going to do it at Crosswinds. I don't have the times or any of that. I should have that by next week. But keep that in the back of your mind. Holy Week is kind of catching up with us quickly. And before you know it, Easter is early this year. It's in March. So before you know it, it will be here. So keep that in mind. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we just invite your presence here this morning. Lord Jesus, we invite you into this place. Come, Lord. Lord, we just pray as we dig into your word this morning. Come and affect us, Lord. Transform our hearts. Transform our minds. Come and have your way with us today. Allow us to hear from you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We just pray all this in Jesus' name. We are on a journey this Lent, a journey of prayer. I called the church to a season of fasting and praying over Lent, and I know many of you have joined us with that. You know, prayer it should be the foundation of everything we do in the church. It should be the foundation of our lives. And so last week we started this journey and we talked about praying for each other. And we looked at the prayers that God always seems to answer. Prayers for us to love one another. Prayers for us to be in unity. Prayers for us to... for the Lord to give us the strength to endure, prayers for peace in our own lives, for joy, for wisdom, and prayers for His gospel to be preached. And so at the end of the service last week, if you were here, we handed out these prayer journals. And we asked you to jot down a couple of people in the church that you knew of, that you were going to pray for. And I mentioned, don't go and tell them I'm going to go pray for you. Don't go and get a prayer list. Just say, you know, jot it down. And then throughout the week, take a couple of minutes, moments, seconds, and just pray for them. When we called the church to prayer and fasting, what we asked on prayer is, whatever you currently pray, just add a little bit more to it. So if you barely pray, just try praying 5 minutes a day. If you pray 5 minutes a day, try praying 10 minutes a day. If you pray 3 hours a day, try a little bit more. Just add a bit to it. And so, as I started last week, how did things go? I mean, for those of you who wrote names, did you sense the Lord doing anything? Did you notice anything? Anybody want to share anything? I see heads nodding. Yeah, that's what I figured. Any breakthroughs last week? Okay, we'll keep pressing on. My goal last week was to get you to just start to pray. And where'd Ben disappear to? Yeah. Ben, can you pass out? If you didn't get a journal, can you run back there and grab them? Ben will give you one. They're free. So if you'd like one, if you didn't get one, if you lost yours, the dog ate it, which in my house is very viable, just raise your hand and he will hand you one. Marie needs one. Yeah. Now today we're going to continue our journey on prayer by kind of looking at what intercessory prayer in the church should look like, or what perhaps we've been called to be. So if you have a Bible, we're going to start in Isaiah chapter 56. I'm gonna wait for him to... Isaiah 56. This is like Oprah, and you get a journal, and you get a journal. Never mind. That's probably not appropriate. Okay, Isaiah 56. We almost there, Ben? If you don't have a Bible, it'll be up on the screen. Starting in verse 7. Isaiah writes this, "These I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." This verse, the larger context behind this verse, is that Isaiah is talking about how God is at one day going to bring all the exiles back to Jerusalem, and he's going to bring the Gentiles and the foreigners to him as well. And he describes that his house, that the temple, when this occurs, it's supposed to be a house of prayer, a place where the nations come and meet with God and pray. Now, it's common for buildings to be called what they actually are, right? Right? I mean, you know, we call this the church building because this is where the church gathers. Ben and I went on a prayer walk through campus and we ended up in the student center, which is where the students go and gather and relax. And that's what it's called. You know, when I go to a baseball game, it's usually we're going to Sox Park, even though it has one of 100 different names, because that's where the White Sox play or the Cubs play or what have you. Buildings tend to get known by what occurs in them. And what God is saying is that His house, what should be happening in His house is prayer. It's interesting that Jesus keeps that same picture. In Mark chapter 11, right after Palm Sunday, after Jesus comes into Jerusalem, Jesus goes to the temple. And in Mark 11, verse 11, it says this, "Jesus entered Jerusalem and he went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Jesus comes into Jerusalem and he goes into the temple and he's looking around. He's looking for something. He's looking for something that's supposed to be in his house. And in verse 15, he comes back. And Mark writes this, "On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and he would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And he taught them by saying, 'Is it not written, My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers.'" Jesus quotes that right out of Isaiah. My house is supposed to be a house of prayer, but you've turned it into something else. What was Jesus looking for when he came to the temple that Palm Sunday? He was looking for prayer to be present, but he found other things. Now we read this and we're thinking, okay, so is he saying that we're not allowed to, like, you know, when I was younger, I was raised Roman Catholic, and this verse always concerned me, because in my church, the youth were allowed to sell newspapers. And so after the service, as you were leaving the church and you were in the vestibule heading out to your car, there were kids there with Sunday Tribunes. And so you could get your Sunday Tribune as you're leaving church and going home, okay? And for those of you who don't know what a newspaper is, or a Sunday newspaper, back in the day, Sunday papers were the paper you got because all the coupons were in there and the sports page was actually interesting, the comics were in there, everything. So everyone pretty much, you may not have gotten the paper Monday through Saturday, but you probably bought the Sunday paper. And so I remember hearing this verse thinking, wait a minute, they're selling newspapers in the back of the church. Does that mean that we've completely missed it? Well, that's not what Jesus is saying here. You have to understand the picture that is occurring here. To do worship in the temple required you to bring things, to bring animals that were going to be sacrificed, to bring a certain type of currency that would be accepted at the temple. You couldn't come with Roman currency because that had a picture of Caesar on it. That was considered an idol. You had to have a temple currency that didn't have those pictures on it. And so they would come, and in the temple there was a place to go where you could go and buy the animal you would need. It was convenient. Buy the animal you need right there at the temple, and then you could take care of it. Well, they put this in what was called the court of the Gentiles. This was the one place in the temple that the Gentiles could come and worship God. But there was no longer room for them to do that because they turned it into a marketplace. So they were saying, we don't have room for the Gentiles. We don't have room for the nations. And it was all done out of convenience. What Jesus is saying to them as he kicks them out is not that, you know, if you need to go prepare and buy something for the temple. He's saying, do it in advance. Because his temple was supposed to be a place where the nations would come, where the nations could come and worship God. And it's so easy for us to close off the areas where that the world can come and meet with Jesus out of our own convenience, out of our own comfort, out of our own need. There is no longer room for the nations to come and pray to Yahweh. One would have to wonder what Jesus would find in the church today if he came to look. There tends to be three different types of churches out there when it comes to prayer. There's the prayer light church. Prayer is believed in, but it's half-hearted. It's more ritualistic than substantive or wholehearted. Prayer tends to be unstructured, so there are things that we read or say, but prayer is really not present in the church or in the people. You just go through the motions. There's the prayer ministry church. Prayer here is real, it's substantive, but it's carried out as one of the many different ministry teams of the church. There's intercessory teams or ministry teams, and they carry most of the weight of the church. That's where we're at, guys. Tuesday night, there's intercessory prayer. It's open, but there's what? Six of us? Seven of us that show? Five? Sometimes less. We have ministry teams that pray, but beyond that, how much present is prayer in the church? And then there's what you would call a house of prayer church. Prayer is substantive, it's wholehearted, it's widespread and ongoing. Prayer takes place within and for each of the ministries of the church, not as a separate ministry carried out by a few, but something that is just present. That's what Jesus has called us to be. Not a place that is open to prayer, not a place with prayer teams or groups that pray, but instead a house of prayer. If that's what he's calling us to be, so what does it look like? Now, some of you hear house of prayer and you're immediately being transported to Kansas City. Okay, you're thinking, oh, you're talking about the IHOP stuff, right? Is that what you're calling us to be? I'm not criticizing that, but that's not what I think God is calling us to do, and that's not what I think that means here. Instead, I think we can get a glimpse of what Jesus is talking about and Isaiah is talking about by looking at how the early church dealt with it. Acts chapter 1:14, the first part of it, describing the early church, said this. It's before Pentecost. They all were there with one mind, continually devoting themselves to prayer. After Jesus died, that's what the church did. They prayed. They prayed. They prayed. That's what a house of church or house of prayer is supposed to look like. Notice the three marks that are there. First of all, they were all in prayer, not just the faithful, not just the intercessors, but the entire congregation was praying. And they were praying with one mind. They were in agreement, focused and united about what they were praying about. This wasn't just some random prayers going up to heaven. Each person prayed and they were focused throughout the entire church. And finally, they were devoted. They devoted themselves to prayer. This wasn't an event. And we get used to that. Let's do a prayer night event, one and done. Instead, everything they did was bathed in prayer. We see the fruit of that right after Pentecost. Notice what Luke describes the church right after Pentecost in Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They started before in prayer, Pentecost, and it just multiplied after Pentecost. See, for us to accomplish anything for God, it has to be bathed in prayer. And it's easy for us to forget that. It's easy for us just to do things on our own strength. We just get moving. We start going forward. Isn't it? We start a project and what's the first step, second, third, fourth, and we can completely forget about starting with prayer, with bathing it in prayer. We tend to like to do and then pray that God blesses what we've already done. Instead, we're supposed to pray first and then actually do. John Bunyan, who wrote, my mind just went blank, Pilgrim's Progress. Thank you, John. He has a quote. He says this, "You can do more than pray after you've prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you've prayed." Meaning that prayer isn't the only thing you can do. You can do a lot more after you have prayed, but if you think you can do anything without prayer, you've completely missed it. That was one of the reasons why we called the church to prayer and fasting for this season. Because for us to accomplish what God has for us as a church, first and foremost, we have to be a place where prayer is. Where prayer is present. And that prayer, first of all, has to be substantive. It has to be faith-filled, intentional, and authentic. Secondly, it has to be systematic. It has to be happening whenever we are doing anything good or even struggling. No matter what's happening, it has to be present. Third, it has to be broad-based. It has to be happening by many, if not most, of the church, not just the select few who have a gift of intercessory prayer. I know people who have the gift of intercessory prayer. They're incredible. I wish I had that kind of gift, that kind of passion. I don't. But I realize that even though I may not act the way or pray the way they do, I still need to pray. Fourth, it has to be kingdom focused. Not just like prayer requests, Lord, come and, But it has to be for the protection of the church. It has to consider the reality of spiritual warfare against the church and asking for protection from that. It has to be empowering and fueling the church to carry out its ministries, that the kingdom advances. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. And finally, it has to be continual. Everything we do, everything we conceive, everything to be conceived, to be sustained and completed, has to be done through intentional prayer. So how are we going to do this? That's the question. Well, reality, we can't get there in one day, but we can build to it as a church. So this morning, I'm going to invite the leaders of the church to come up. They've already been pre-warned, so don't worry. And I'm going to ask them to talk about what they do in the church and where they need prayer. And here's what I want you to do. You have your journals, so make a page in your journal for the church. As they talk about what they're doing, jot down some points. And commit to yourself and to the Lord that you're going to pray for those points throughout the week. Add this to what you're currently praying. And just pray for whatever amount of time the Holy Spirit is calling you to pray. I'm not asking you to, like, you know, spend all day on Saturday in your prayer closet just weeping and throwing ashes and dust on your head for the church. No! Just if the Lord's... Okay. The Lord's calling me to pray. I'll pray for 5 minutes. You got the bullet points. Knock them out. It doesn't matter. Just be obedient to what the Lord is doing. Now, pray for these points in your journal through the lens of two things. One, protection. Look, spiritual warfare is real. And there are seasons in this church where things are going great, and there are seasons in this church where I can feel the hand of the enemy coming against us. So pray for protection, first and foremost. Second, pray for empowering, that the Holy Spirit empowers the things that are being done. What's powerful about this is that when you consider, if you all do this, the amount of prayer that will cover what we are doing at the church, it's mind-boggling. It'll be more than what the four of us do on Tuesday morning, or Tuesday night, or six of us, or whoever's there. It'll be the whole church. So, I'm going to ask our leaders, I moved the mic, to come up. Cindy, Jeff, James, Brenda, John, Ben, come on up. I think some things will surprise you, because a lot of times people look around and go, there's not much happening here. There's a lot more happening than you realize. That's muted. Okay, who should we have go first? Jeff, you go first.
Because I'm at the end. No, John is at the end now.
No, let Jeff go first.
We're out of
order. You guys, can you step this way or else Nathan's going to have a... he's going to widen the shot, but...
Right. Hi, I'm Jeff. I help with Alpha. That's kind of the main thing I've been focused on lately. A couple things to pray for regarding Alpha. One, we, as Brenda mentioned, we do have our weekend, Holy Spirit weekend, this Saturday. It's a one-day retreat for those who have been part of Alpha. And so that's a really big part of the Alpha course. So definitely invite you to pray for that. And the second thing that we've been praying for with Alpha, or that's been on my heart for Alpha, is for it to be continual. We're going to be starting another Alpha course after this. And so just that the Spirit would draw people to that course too. And so we want to keep it going because it's a really great thing. We've had a lot of people involved. And most of the people up here are helping with Alpha in some way or another, so you can pray for all these folks as they're helping with the weekend and with the Alpha course. So that's it.
So,
good question. Thank you. Awesome. Okay, so Alpha is a course that introduces people to the Christian faith. It's used by churches all over the world of all kinds of denominations, and it's an incredibly successful tool to introduce people to Jesus. And so it's designed for people who don't know Jesus, but a lot of people who are just want a refresher in what the basics of Christianity are have been part of the course. So it's open conversation. We watch a video and just kind of talk about it and kind of just move through some of the foundations of the Christian faith. And we have a question.
Do you still have more of these to hand out?
There are plenty of cards
in the back.
And near the entrance. So... Yep, absolutely. So, yeah, so, feel free to take that one of those if it helps you, you know, bookmark. You can remind yourself to pray for Alpha. Put it in your journal. Yeah, there you go.
So, in case you're wondering, we've done Alpha before, and every time we've done it, we've kind of done it as, okay, the first one, we'll just bring the whole church through it, and then we'll hopefully grow from there, and then something has always happened to prevent us from doing the next
COVID
one.
COVID being one of those things.
Yeah, like, you know, a pandemic breaking out after the first week of Alpha and stuff like that. So... this one we decided to do very differently. We decided to do it the right way, the way it's written. And actually, it sounds funny, but it's like we've done it so many times that none of us feel like we need the training for it. But I looked at Jeff and I'm like, let's do it the right way. So we sat through the training videos, which we all knew. And then I looked at him and we've never done a full meal before. And I said, let's try it with dinner. Dinner's complicated. So I took that on. That's my job with Alpha. And it cracks people up because I show up with dinner. I serve dinner and put it all together. And then I leave. It's been incredible for me. But Jeff is running it. He's leading it. We have, what, about 12 people?
Yeah, it's actually on any given week. There's probably about 12 total, including leaders. James has been helping. Ben's
three
been
of
helping.
Them are leaders. So the majority of people going through it are leaders, and I'm looking in, or not leaders, and I'm looking in the room right now, and nobody who's on Alpha is in the room right now because they are brand spanking new. Oh, I'm sorry, Emily Spencer and Nathan are in Alpha.
That's Sarah. That's your
Sarah Spencer.
That's your youngest daughter, not your oldest.
But I don't pay attention to the guys in the sound booth.
I do. Thank
you. Okay. Yes. So the majority, Spencer. The majority of the people in the room are not. The majority of people on Alpha are not in the room. They're not coming on Sunday. They're being introduced to Jesus, and some of them are coming. There's like very little faith, and we're watching it bud, and it's been amazing. So pray for Alpha, and pray that we can pull another one off starting in April when it comes. Cool. Okay, who wants to go next? John.
I guess it'll be me. Wow. So my name is John. I'm a semi-retired and volunteer associate pastor here. And I've done a bunch of different ministries at different times. Currently, probably the only area of responsibility I have is putting together the men's group. It meets once a month on a Saturday morning. We have breakfast, so, you know, deep down inside, I'm just another fat guy trying to get to heaven. So, and as our founder was as well. So, but I think as far as things that I do with prayer, I'd like for I help with payables here. I do some of the administrative stuff for the church to free up Jeff, to free up Joe, who's also a bivocational. Everybody here is bivocational. Everybody here is. Working to help allow us to be able to do what God has called us to do here at this church. And so I wear a lot of different hats. I've led recovery groups, I've led small groups, but I'm currently not doing that. So I'm not in the fray, as they say, at the moment. I'll be helping out on the Alpha weekend, Lord willing, and whatever else. Whatever else Joe tells me to do is what I end up doing.
So this is the funny thing about John's description. John's retired, and he's got a little bit more free time at times than I do. John's really good with the challenging requests that come to the church. Now, you guys don't get our voicemail. We get our voicemail. And some of the messages we get on our voicemail are really out there. Some of them are people who desperately need help for one thing or another. John takes those calls, and John goes and meets with those people. And we don't have money to give them. But he meets with them, he prays with them, he helps them find the resources they need. That's one of the huge things he does for me, and it takes a ton off of my plate. And he is just wonderful at it. Wonderful at it. And it's because of his years in working in recovery and all this other stuff, he knows how to handle that. So that's one. John does a lot of stuff here that kind of goes under the radar. And he's also the guy, if you noticed, that does an awful lot of ministry, praying for people, and prophetic and stuff like that. And he needs prayer for that as well, that the Lord is with him. Because trust me, ministering to the hard side of the church is not easy. It takes a lot out of you at times. And so pray for him that the Lord gives him strength, that he gives him health, that he continues to give him that prophetic edge that he tends to walk in and things like that. We were joking about this, like, you know, I'm like, John, what do you want to talk about? You know, because I can't really think of, like, you know, you're running this particular ministry. And he's like, well, just say we're not exactly sure what John does here. But no, John does a lot. And so he needs that prayer as you continue to move forward. Let's just keep going this way. Ben.
Hi, my name's Ben. Another self-proclaimed fat guy trying to get into heaven. I am predominantly working with what I affectionately call Zillennials of the church. Those are the Millennials and Gen Zs. It's just a fun word to say, so I keep saying it. We're working on establishing a campus ministry and a college group for those who are, you know, in their early late teens to 20s. This thing is... It's on.
It's on.
It's dying. Hi, I'm Ben.
They heard you. Just that'll help.
And so, you know, I'm working on getting a young adults ministry set up. Right now, all the young adults in the church are kind of going through Alpha. So we're on a little bit of a micro hiatus for that. However, afterwards, we had a small group going on that just kind of met weekly. We had some meals together, did some game nights, stuff like that. Predominantly for me, what I need prayer for, if I'm being candidly honest here, is I'm related to about half the young adults in the room right now. And so, you know, and the other half is in the sound booth. And so, you know, if we could just pray for the ability of and the gift of evangelism to go out, find people who don't know Jesus and introduce them to Jesus, and just be able to have that spirit of hospitality and the ability to just kind of welcome people in. That's mainly what I need prayer for.
So Ben was invited into a training opportunity, a learning opportunity, with an organization that's coming into the United States that does campus ministry. They started in England. They're here in the U.S. The Vineyard is partnering with them. It's called Fusion. So he's part of a learning community. What's interesting is right now Ben is the sole Vineyard representative, and he's the guy for the entire movement that's learning how this organization works. And they are challenging him on stuff. So last Thursday, for example, Ben and I went on a prayer walk of campus. Now, I used to do these all the time when I got here. And I would pray on campus. I would sit in the student center and write sermons and just try to meet people. So now he's starting to do that. And NIU, if you don't know, right now the campus ministries in NIU are decreasing big time. Network of Nations is doing wonderful stuff with the internationals, but the other ministries are really decreasing. InterVarsity is on life support. And InterVarsity used to be a bedrock on that university. CRU is still kind of plugging along, but they're nowhere near the size that they used to be. And so one of the visions and hopes that we have is to be able to have someone who is solely focused there, because there is a huge harvest on the university. I don't know if you know this, but in the 70s there was a revival on the campus of NIU. And we'd love to see that happen again. So James and Brenda, Hold on.
We are running small groups. We've been recently put in charge of those, and so we definitely need prayer for wisdom and guidance and what that's going to look like going forward. But we love community. Like, I am pretty introverted. He is more extroverted than I am by far. However, I still love to be in community with people and do life with people. And we've had many successful small groups in our house that have just been about doing life together and reading the Bible and figuring out what God wants our lives to be. So that's really why we are doing small groups. Do you want to share what our requests are?
Oh, yes. Got it written right here. Just to ask God to lead new people into the right small groups, you know, so they can plug in and just have that support, get to know people, share their life together. Pray that God will reveal small group members' spiritual gifts and create opportunities for those gifts to be used. So, just developing our, the gifts that God gives us, the natural, just those gifts that we're born with. And ask God to create environments of encouragement, because we all need encouragement.
So I asked them a couple weeks ago, a couple weeks ago to lead small group ministries. The vision of this church is to have a thriving small group community occurring in this church. And the small groups took a pause for Christmas, and they'll be kicking back off a little stronger after Alpha. But it really became clear to me that Brenda and James really have a gift of hospitality, a wonderful gift of hospitality. And that's the key in small group ministries in many ways, is that hospitality. And so it's taking that vision for what small groups are supposed to be, and they have that vision, and just seeing it birth and go forward. Now, we're pioneering, because there's not a lot of us here. So a pioneer is it's hard sometimes. So pray for them, that the Lord gives them that wisdom, that strength, that discernment to birth what he has and what he has to do. They're faithful, and I know it'll be huge when it all rolls out. You're up.
Hi, I'm Cindy. I co-lead, senior lead with Joe here, and I wear a lot of different hats. I'd like to take a few of them off. But currently, I lead worship with Benjamin. So in that area, if you could pray for the worship team, pray that we are sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit during worship, but also throughout the week to see what he's saying and how he leads us to choose songs and to minister to the Lord's heart and to lead you all in worship and then get out of the way. We never want it to be about us. We want it to be about him. So as far as worship is concerned, and we need a bass player who's here regularly, so pray for that too. But I have a great team of guys. These guys are awesome. They're faithful, and they're good at what they do, and I appreciate them a lot. I also coordinate the schedules for Kids Church and hospitality. So I do a lot of administrative stuff at the church. I'm responsible for the website. I'm responsible for the Facebook page. I'm responsible for pretty much all of the administrative slides and things that you see here on Sunday mornings. I do a lot of behind-the-scenes administrative work. I'm also, with Brenda, we're working on women's ministries and trying to get more women's events put together so that the women can come together and get to know each other. My heart is to start women's small group studies and do in-depth Bible teaching and get that going. That's in the works. Not sure when it's going to happen, but we're working on it. Did I forget anything? And I take care of Joe and manage Joe and try to keep him in line. And no, I'm kidding. He keeps me in line for sure. My prayer would just be for wisdom and for time and for creative ideas and just to really stay tapped into the Lord's heart for those different ministries.
Thank you. You guys can sit down if you want.
Thank you.
So I jotted a few notes down for the church. don't know if you notice this, but there's a lot of ministries that aren't up here. Cindy coordinates the children's church schedule. You look around, you don't see a lot of kids. We have about two or three families that what I call are orbiting the church right now. And that means that they've contacted us, they've kind of popped in or made relationships with people, and they keep hinting that they're going to come and visit. When they do, we need to be prepared with a children's ministry. Well, Cindy has put one together, like a kids ministry in a box, that we can pull out, and different people are assigned to different weeks. For example, this week was James and Brenda. And we really thought we had some strong rumors that there might be two kids here today. So we were gunning for that. And we had a backup plan, like, okay, how are we going to get them to talk if we have kids? And it didn't happen. But we have a plan. We need more than a plan. All right? We need that leader that can develop it. And we need kids. And pray for that. I love our church, but it's a lot more fun where there's young voices making noise in the background. Pray for the other ministries that you're thinking of, like, well, why don't we have a ministry to this? Well, maybe the Lord's calling you to that ministry. But before we run there, pray for that the Lord develops it and births it. Pray that the Lord brings us the workers, that He brings people just to be here as well, to be a part of our community, that we can become all that He has called us to be. Pray for the finances of this church. They are tight. If you're on the DeKalb, or if you're on the Vineyard Community Facebook page, or get the email of the weekly email, we post where the offering is. We can do a lot with a little, but they're tight. It would be a lot easier if we could do a lot with a lot. Finally, for the church, pray for favor, that we have favor as a church. The Lord has given us tremendous favor over the years. Pray that He continues to do that. For me and for Cindy, the things that I'll ask for is pray for me for wisdom and discernment to lead. There's a lot that happens here. And as John said, we're all bivocational. We all have jobs on the side, or some of our jobs aren't on the side. They're like jobs. And so there's at times a lot of juggling that occurs. And I don't mind it. You know, I told someone this week, the lifestyle I live, which is challenging and stressful at times, I've chosen to live. We've chosen to live this life. So, but pray that the Lord gives us the wisdom and discernment to lead properly. Pray that I can figure out how to put all of these things together in a working system. And not that we have a bunch of silos fighting with one another, but that we come together in unity as a church. What I really need prayer right now is we're about to implement some things. We've been working as a leadership team on a bunch of stuff for the last 2 years, and we are going to do a full-fledged rollout over the next few months of different things. First and foremost is going to be... it's a terrible word, especially if you like Star Trek... an assimilation plan. How do we invite people into the church, and what does church life look like? And we have a plan figured out, and we're going to roll it out. In about a month's time, maybe two, maybe after Easter, we are going to have a newcomers luncheon that we're going to invite the entire church to. And we're going to just treat it like you're all newcomers and tell you about the church and feed you pizza and tell you what's happening. And the reason for that is we just kind of want to share with everybody. And then we're going to do those newcomers monthly as new people come. As you know, how do you learn about who we are, what we're doing? For some of you, you're going to go through this like, yeah, duh, you know, nothing's changing. We're not like massive changing. It's just more of putting structure in places where there weren't structure. But we thought it would be good to feed everybody pizza and just share what we're going to share with all the new people who are coming. And then after that, we'll do it monthly. We'll do it monthly. We are working on a discipleship pathway, experience, whatever, like real in-depth discipleship. And we're not going to force everybody to do it, but it'll be an opportunity if people are looking to like really apprentice with Jesus. We're putting that together, and that'll probably be rolled out closer to September. We're running a beta. We'll be running a beta test of it over the next couple of months, but we'll probably be rolling it out in September. So if you're looking for that, it'll be there. And then we're putting a whole plan together for leadership development, because the reality is that, you know, what do we say? Everyone gets to play. And so some people feel called to lead. And so how do we actually empower and release people to lead in whatever ministries they have? Pray for me and Cindy and all of us, because these conversations we've had over the last 2 years to develop some of this stuff, we discovered that we'd been doing stuff for 20 years that was kind of haphazard. You know, people got developed and they got discipled, but there wasn't really a structure to it. It just happened. And we're realizing structure's important. And then finally, something Paul keeps saying, pray for my preaching. You don't like the way I preach? Pray for me. I can feel it when the church is praying for me. And I can feel my preaching when the church is praying. And so pray for all of us who preach. I mean, Brenda is going to be preaching in a couple of weeks. Jeff preaches every now and then. John preaches every now and then. Cindy preaches every now and then. Pray for the preachers of this church. Ben has preached occasionally, and he's learning how to do it more. Pray for us that we can teach and preach, and that the Holy Spirit uses us and develops us and gives us the words that he wants instead of the words that we want. You know, Jesus, I really believe, has called us to be a house of prayer. And years ago, that was a foundation of this church. We used to do 24/7 prayer events. And I remember when we would do them and we'd put up the sign-up sheet, you had to be quick if you wanted an overnight. The 2 to 5 a.m. shifts always went. And we'd fill them up, and we weren't that huge of a church. And the Lord moved mightily when we were doing things like that. And I think he's calling us back to that. So as we continue this journey over Lent, we're slowly going to try to become one. So as we go today, I want to challenge you. The sermon's been a little different. Hopefully you took notes. Commit to the Lord and to yourself that you're going to pray for those areas. If you have questions, I didn't warn them of this, of any of these ministries, of any of these people, this week I give you permission. Go to them and say, explain to me more on this, how I should be praying for the retreat this weekend. Why is it so important that I should be praying for the retreat this weekend? If you pray for one thing, pray for the retreat this weekend. It's massive. Because this is where the Holy Spirit shows up and God shows up and the rubber hits the road and the penny drops and the whole nine yards. I've hit every analogy and thing I can come up with. But go, pull them aside, say, hey, explain this. You know, Cindy, you talked about women. Tell me your vision so I can pray more in depth. You have my permission. Do that. John, what do you mean, hard people? What did Joe mean by that? He'll tell you. Or he'll give you phone numbers to call back. One of the two. Pray for them. And take the time. Let's pray. Holy Spirit. Lord, you are moving in this church. Your presence is flowing in this place. Lord, as your disciples said to you at one point, come and teach us to pray. Lord, I pray this week as we look into our journals, as we begin to pray for the church, Lord, begin to share with each one of us your heart for this church, your vision for for this church, your mission and call for this church. For Lord, I know the plans you have for us are far greater than anything we can imagine. Lord, continue to soften our heart for prayer. Normally at this time, I ask someone from the ministry team to come up and we kind of wait on the Lord. We're going to forego that this week, but I am going to say, if you need prayer for something, we're talking about prayer. If you need prayer for something, if, be it illness, be it struggle, the Lord was doing stuff on Friday with healing. And I think he's still doing it today. Then please come up or grab someone nearby and ask them to pray for you. If you need prayer for a breakthrough, for wisdom, for whatever, come up and get some or grab someone real quick. Don't leave without it. Otherwise, may the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you in the wilderness. May he protect you in the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders that he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. Keep plugging through those journals. Have a great Sunday, a great week. I want to hear if something happens, if the Lord does something, if you experience breakthrough or something, if the Lord meets you in your time of prayer, call me. Let me know. Text me. Tell me on Sunday morning when you come back. Otherwise, have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. Amen.